Simple Cyber Defense Security Updates for May 26,
2022. Welcome back to Simple Cyber Defense. In this week's episode, we're going to go over the thrilling world of ransomware. As you can tell in this world, more and more people are being attacked and compromised, and lots of data is being lost, and many cybercriminals are becoming very rich over this kind of attack. So we're going to talk about how to identify if you're a victim, and what to do after it. And so let's begin. So do you want to start off with what ransomware is, or?
Yeah, so in a general sense, ransomware is a type of software that locks your network or your device. And what it does is it encrypts it. And there's someone behind the scenes who has access to communicate with you and have that decryption key. And that decryption key has a price. Now, we hear a lot about it in the news where there are large corporations that will be victim to ransomware, whether it's a corporation or a city or a county. And if those companies, if that ransomware attack takes over an entire network or an entire system, it's a big problem for multiple people. But here on our channel, we like to bring things down to a smaller level, right? What happens if I myself get attacked by ransomware? If I'm using my computer and all of a sudden a screen comes on, your computer is locked. Now everything has a price, right? And the price was put on a personal laptop on about $300. It's worth about $300 to its owner. So what somebody would do is they say, okay, for me to unlock it for you, it's $300. Either you pay me that or you lose all data on your laptop, right? And that's pretty much what ransomware is.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because a lot of people don't always back up their data, they are very vulnerable to these type of attacks, because if they don't have access to many of these photos or documents, that's their only copies of what's on their computer. And right. The attackers actually take advantage of that and target people who don't always have backups. And in some cases, they may even scour your network to see if you have any network attached storage devices. And they'll first delete any copies of backups you have on there, then encrypt your hard drive so that even if you did have a backup, it won't do you any good because it's attached to the network and they saw it and they just deleted it. So, best way to actually see if you are an actual victim, because unfortunately there are some copycats out there who don't always have the know-how how to do the encryption part, so they kind of fake it. And what they'll do is they'll either put on a fake screen on there that pretends to lock up your computer, or they'll just start renaming your files something else to make it look like it's been encrypted. Because if you don't recognize the extension, the computer won't even recognize it either. Because there's a lot of times you can actually change the extension of the file from, like, say, a .doc to a .xyz, and then the computer won't know what to do with it. So you try opening it, it'll just come out a garbled mess. So you may think that you're actually being encrypted, but in fact, all it is just the extensions being changed on you. So with that said, what would you say?
And that's what falls under a hoax, right?
Hoax. Yeah. And unfortunately, it is not as common, but it is out there. So the best way to, what would you say the best way to know if you're actually hit with an encryption versus a hoax file?
If you just go to your task manager, hit Control Delete on your on your computer, Windows computer, or command delete on your Mac, I believe. Mm-hmm. It'll take you to Task Manager and you can close out of that fake web screen. If you're not able to go to Task Manager, then it's more than likely ransomware.
Yeah. And also another thing is, if you go to a file that you know what the extension is, you can try changing the extension from whatever it's set to the correct extension, see if that will unlock your files.
Now, what I would do is, you know, the best way to protect myself from that is learn the attack vectors, the how I can get something like this, right? So how can I get ransomware on my computer? There's Trojans, right? Where you can download something from an application that you think is legitimate, and it has another program in there that is a ransomware, right? Or has a downloader that can go and grab that ransomware and install it on your system. Also, if a website that you go to is not secure and it's not, and it has questionable content, there could be scripts, you know, sitting on those servers. And if you go onto that website, then that script downloads to your computer, you know, through your browser, and then you're able to get that ransomware downloaded to your computer. So number one, learn what these attack vectors are. And then we have a lot of videos on this channel that kind of that tell you and teach you how to avoid falling victim to some of these attack vectors. You know, like we have a video on VPNs, you know, how to hide your identity. We have a video on, you know, antiviruses and how they work and what to look for, things like that. So that's number one, right? Number two is, and you kind of touched upon that, is backup your data, right? Now, if I'm working on this laptop and I'm backing up my data, well, I can't back it up to the same laptop, because if it falls victim to ransomware, then there goes my data too. So have something in the cloud, you know, or have an external hard drive that you back up to on a, you know, weekly basis or a daily basis or a monthly basis, as long as it's you disconnect it from your laptop completely after you're done backing up. So that would be what I would do to protect myself against ransomware.
Yeah. When you go with the backups, the best way to do it is the 3-2-1 method, where you have three different copies on two different mediums and one of them is offline. So like you were saying, it's okay to have a NAS as one backup, but also have another external hard drive that you don't keep it attached to either a network or your computer. So that way that's your offline, and then have your cloud as your third, backup. So it's also off of the area. So if you have like a fire in your house, you're not going to lose your data, because if your only backups are within the house, then you'll lose all the data with it. So with all of these said, do you think there's anything else we can add about the ransomware?
Well, we haven't talked about that worst case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. Which is you may have to pay up to unlock your data.
Yeah.
Right. And if that, you know, worst comes to worst and you have to do that, there are ways to pay it anonymously, right? Without disclosing much information about yourself. Like, oh no, I'm not going to send you my credit card information. I'm not going to wire you this, you know, we can do it through crypto. And I think we should we should do an episode
on crypto.
On crypto, on how to use it and then how to pay with it, how to receive payments, things like that. What do you think?
Yeah. I think we could do that in the next episode, where we actually discuss how to both securely and anonymously pay and buy cryptos. And luckily, most of the legitimate ransomwares actually only accept cryptocurrencies. They'll never ask you for a PayPal or a banking information or a credit card, because all those things can be easily tracked. And the whole point of these criminals is to stay under the radar. So luckily for if they are asking for personal information like that, most likely it's not a legitimate real ransomware attack. So you could probably just ignore that attack and just mostly pay with the cryptocurrencies if you absolutely have to pay. Because that's a personal choice. I can't sit here and say, yes, you should or shouldn't do that. Again, some people have their entire lives on computers and they don't back up. And if they lose some very critical things that they can't get back, mm-hmm. unfortunately, they have to make that tough decision and pay the attackers to get that information back. And a little note on that, even if you do pay the cryptocurrency, there's no guarantee that that's going to be the end of the attacks, because mm-hmm. a lot of the times they also have a copy of your information. And so once you pay to decrypt it, they may extort you to get another payment to keep the data that they have private. And that's another possibility in that situation that you have to consider when you're deciding whether you should pay or not, is do you have any really sensitive information out there that you don't want anyone else to know? And unfortunately, again, that's a decision that you're going to have to come up with. And it's easy for me, who's not have any personal attachment to this, to say, no, you shouldn't pay, or yes, you should pay. It's just up to you and decide if you want to decide that. Is there anything else that we can add?
No.
All right. Even though this is a very short episode, it's very important to realize that ransomware is unfortunately not going to go away anytime soon. And I remember the first time that it came through, was it back in 2017, through the Eternal Blue, that was the CIA's little hacking tool that got loose out into the world and gave birth to the the ransomware attacks, and probably popularized a lot of cryptocurrencies because the attackers use those cryptocurrencies to extort the payments. But ever since then, it just seems to get more and more out there, and more people are getting attacked. And you have many big businesses getting extorted for millions of dollars. And so the best thing to do in this kind of situation is not to be a victim in the first place. Right. The only way to do that is to be very careful about what you download and make sure that the downloads that you are getting are from legitimate sources, because a lot of these cryptocurrencies or crypto ransomware things, I don't know why I keep calling it cryptocurrencies, but a lot of these ransomware attacks on home users are mostly from people who are pirating stuff or trying to get around certain blocks that are put on their either home defenses or their work defenses. Or it could be simple that you work for a company and someone wants to get their company data and they compromise your computer as a way to try to pivot into the workplace, because a lot of times people have these bring your own devices to work. And so they compromise the personal computer, and then the personal computer goes into the network, and then they jump from your computer into the company's network, and off it goes into getting whatever data that they want. So there's another reason why you should be very careful about your home devices, because they could easily become attack vectors for other attacks, especially against your workplace. And as we're seeing more and more people working from home, there's another reason for more and more home users to be attacked with these viruses and things. So with that said, we'll close it out and we'll hope to see you in the next episode where we talk about cryptocurrencies and what's the most secure and private way to not only buy, but also purchase with these coins. And then we'll see you in the next one.
Go on.
Thanks for listening to the Simple Cyber Defense Security Updates. Join us next time when we dive into more security issues and make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Plus, if you have a topic suggestion or want to support the podcast, stop by our website at simplecyberdefense.com.